The time is 9:01 a.m. on August 20th, 2025, and I am convening this third video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Ad Hoc Executive Director Search Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guaranty Association. The meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on August 11, 2025, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of this notice should be attached, excuse me, to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as three of the four members of the committee have been confirmed to be present by video or audio conference. Member Frank Beeman is unavailable for this meeting. Also in attendance are Executive Director Bart Bowles, General Counsel Dan Price, and Association employees Jarrett Terry and Brandy Nichols. And from
Ann
the Texas
Topping,
Department,
Ann Topping Haggerty.
Oh, I'm
I
sorry.
wasn't aware Topping was going to be able to join.
Topping.
And Frank is on now, and Brandy is not here.
Okay, so I apologize. Replace
Oh.
Brandy with Topping Haggerty. Topping, let the record reflect that was my error. I apologize. Didn't mean to give you short shrift, but we now have all four members of the committee as Frank Beeman has joined the call. And from the Texas Department of Insurance is Sean Martin. With that, I'll call the meeting to order. And item one on the agenda is the consideration of the consent agenda, which is adoption of last meeting's minutes. Any questions, concerns, discussion over last meeting's minutes from members of the committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion. Well, it's a consent agenda item. So, entertain a motion to adopt the resolution.
So moved.
Second, James Huckabee.
Thank you, James. And James, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of adoption, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, that motion carries unanimously. And we'll move into the substantive portion of the meeting. Item two on the agenda is consideration and possible action on the revisions to the executive director's solicitation package and distribution process. A couple of items here. First, we're going to look to Dan and Bart to perhaps walk us through the revision of the solicitation package. I know it includes additional elements for independent contractor submissions and additional description of non-salary benefits provided to employees that we thought might enhance and appeal to prospective applicants. So, Dan and Bart.
Sure, but very briefly, I think that you addressed correctly what the changes are. You'll see in the first paragraph we added the full-time employee or alternatively as an independent contractor. That reference, we made it kind of clear throughout that this was going to be either as an alternative. You could apply both ways. That was also in the last paragraph of the letter. The additional changes that were made were to specify, on the job classification that was, if you were a full-time employee, obviously you're exempt. If you're an independent contractor, you are as well. But Bart added in a very detailed description of the benefits to show the non-salary benefits to the employee. This was added as attachment three. Previous attachment three became attachment four. We did try to clarify that this is only available to a independent to an employee, not an independent contractor, and to qualify that these may change because, as we know, we are evaluating the benefits and insurance and things like that annually with the personnel committee. Bart, do you want to add anything else on that?
Well, I went back and looked at some notes from our previous meeting, Dan, and it wasn't real clear to me, and that's my error in not capturing whether these items about to mention should be in the solicitation package or be something be covered during potential interviews. And it all has to do with the contractor structure. And my notes said the committee thought some things that should be provided or disclosed would be a list of some other clients that the contractor provides services to, and then disclosure of the anticipated compensation structure, whether it would be as a pure hourly rate or some type of flat fee monthly or annually, like a flat retainer. Their anticipated time that they have to commit to other clients, in essence, how much time is available under, might be available under this engagement, and the anticipated time they feel would be necessary to spend in Texas under this engagement. So I'd ask the committee, are those items that you would like to see submitted in response to the solicitation package or just to cover during potential interviews?
Thoughts of committee members?
I think it would be helpful if it was included in the solicitation package.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how many responses we'll get, but that information might be helpful if we get a lot to screen some of them anyway.
Yes.
I agree with you guys. And I think since this is our second bite at the apple, it might be helpful to be overly comprehensive than our first attempt, just trying to, I don't know. I thought we did a great job in the first solicitation, but was frankly disappointed in the response. So whatever we can do to help call out interested parties in this attempt, I'm in favor. So I support that as well.
But with that comment from, or comments from each of you, might I suggest that, if I get to the page, excuse me for scrolling quickly, Dan, it's possible we make a new attachment 3, then make attachment 3, 4, and attachment 4 or 5. But a new attachment 3, clarification of independent contractor submission requirements or something like that, and then puts these questions in there that I just rattled off. So it's real clear what's anticipated to be included in the submission, and we do differentiate a little bit, make it that this is for an independent contractor submission. Please answer these questions or provide this information.
Bart, do you mind if I make a comment or a question? Of course, I'm not a member, but you know, and you can, in your first paragraph, it says soliciting proposals from individuals. And then in the last sentence, it says qualified persons. Could I suggest y'all use individuals in both places?
I'm comfortable with that.
I would change it both to persons.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, as we know, individuals would be individual people, but I think persons, I think the person that may be doing it as an independent contractor may actually be having it go through their consulting company.
Right. And also, I think it kind of broadens the breadth in case firms are considering.
Well, I think persons is a broader term that could include, because we use, and you know, this isn't governed by TDI's statute, but, you know, persons a pretty broad term.
That's the Guaranty Association statute, person includes corporations, LLCs, all this, you know, there's a big distinct person is a, you know, the way we kind of owner in the statute, Dan.
Yes. And I agree with that. And that's intended. That was why I would use persons instead of individual.
Okay.
So because I see them for tax reasons or whatever else, they're going to be applying as an entity. If they're an independent contractor, they're not going to apply as an individual.
So one of the questions that may be, and let me just spit this out and see if committee agrees. We're anticipating we have XYZ Consulting submits a proposal. They need to disclose the individual that will be the named executive serving as executive director, correct?
Yes.
So that should also be one of the questions in this new independent contractor attachment submission requirements.
Yeah, and just to clarify, Sean, you know, my firm is who's engaged, but I'm the general counsel. That's the same kind of structure that we would be thinking about.
If we're on the executive director solicitation package cover letter that I'll sign, I do have a one comment, and I'll preface by saying I realize I'm being kind of nitpicky, but again, back to my previous statement, I think we owe it to ourselves to try to position this as best possible so that we're not excluding anyone in the package itself. My comment is this: in the first paragraph, the second sentence, the selected executive director is anticipated to start sometime in 2026, subject to approval of the board, and then the start date will depend upon the applicant's qualifications, experience, and whatnot. My thought is this: two things. Number one, we state that the executive director isn't retiring until the end of 2026, and then we say we're going to entertain hiring someone sometime in 2026. I'm a little bit concerned that an applicant in September of 25 may read that to mean that this position isn't going to be filled until third quarter, fourth quarter of 26, just in advance of Bart's departure, whereas our intention is to bring them on as soon as possible. I'm also a little concerned, and again, this is nitpicky, by saying the start date will be determinative upon the applicant's experience. I don't want them to think that if we ask them to start first or second quarter, that's an indication by the board that they're less qualified and need more time for transition. Okay. So my suggested change would be this. The selected executive director is anticipated to start sometime in 2026, subject to approval of the engagement by the board of directors, continuing on, comma, but with a preference sooner rather than later to provide ample transition time, period, and then delete that following sentence. That's my suggestion. And it could be maybe perhaps worded better, but I think you get my gist.
Did you get that, Dan?
Deleting the sentence that says the start date.
Right.
Okay.
So I think with my edit in the prior sentence, it would address that. So the paragraph would read, the Texas Life Association soliciting proposals for individuals to serve. Executive Director Bart Bowles is retiring at the end of 2026. The selected executive director is anticipated to start sometime in 26, subject to approval of the engagement by the Tullahoma Board of Directors, but with a preference sooner rather than later to provide ample transition time. Qualified persons may apply as a full-time or alternatively as an independent contractor.
Got it.
So Dan, we have that change. We have the creation of a new attachment with the independent contractor submission requirements. And we'll make those changes. I think it'll be best to make sure we do that and distribute via email a draft to the committee just so you see what it looks like before distributed. We can't have a deliberative exchange. But if there are serious concerns, please express those to Dan or I.
Would now be a good time for me just to go over a few little tiny nits?
I think we capture them all. Dan, you okay with that?
Yes, I'm okay.
I'm sorry, Bart. I have a few other things.
Sure.
Okay, so under attachment 1.1.2, identify issues for posting on board of directors and committee meeting agendas. Just after agendas, I believe we put a comma there.
Yes.
Okay. Then 2.2, we say analyze, explore. Okay. So another nit. 2.1 is analyze. 2.3 is prepare. 2.2 is explore and preparing. So I would say change preparing to prepare.
Okay. Got it. For
consistency. Number 7. We say this correctly later on in an attachment, but 7.1, respond to all consumer agent health insurance. I would delete health.
Insurance provider. Okay.
Okay. And then the final thing in this area, reporting relationship, reports to the board of directors, position supervised. Should we make any mention of general counsel, whether it's supervised or, you know, so should they be listed here in some fashion?
Hmm.
That brings up a great point.
Well, I mean, it may be take out reporting and just relationships. So we report to the board of directors, position supervised, and I don't know, we could have interacts frequently with independent outside counsel or general. How do you want to word yourself, Dan?
I mean, it's consulting with counsel, I guess. It's the best way I would put it. Because I think my job is not to be supervised.
No, you're not supervised. That would not be correct.
Would it be all right to just put a separate line at your reporting relationship, just consulting relationship, or and then general counsel?
I think we could say something like that. That requires regular interactions and requires regular interaction with outside general counsel.
Yeah, I had thought reports to board of directors, consults with independent general counsel, position supervised, but however you want.
Okay.
Could you say board general counsel?
Sure.
Or association general counsel, which would be most accurate?
We'll put TLHIGA general counsel, because we used to have a board counsel and it was more limited. Yeah. Don't want to limit it that way.
That's where I was coming from. So I think that's.
Yep. TLHIGA general counsel.
Okay. I've added the line as it was suggested, consults with THLIGA general counsel under report to before position supervised.
Okay. Yeah. I promise I'll be quiet now.
No, please.
No, those are good. Those are good.
We've been staring at this for a while, so.
Others?
Hey, Chair Kennedy, James Huckabee. Quick question, a comment. Going back to the start date that you addressed a few minutes ago, my question, is there in the best interest of our organization, our association, and I guess I'm asking Bart this question, how much start time? I mean, you know, if it's, is it 6 months? Is it 4 months? But I don't want anyone to read into this. Well, you know, I have qualifications and I can start December 1 of 2026 and be okay. But I think there has to be the transition time. They have an idea. They know what we do. But Bart is the person, he's been in this position for a long time. And so there has to be, I think we ought to determine how much transition time that should be appropriate for the new executive director. And at least it might not be a hard and fast date, but what does that date look like, Bart, from your point of view?
No, James, it's a very good question. And there's a number of factors that come into this. It's more than just the skills and experience,
right,
and the background of any potential candidate. It's also their availability.
Right.
The intent was to offer them as much as up to 1 year so they could experience regular activities as they arise, you know, activities that occur during the year, but only once a year.
Like right.
Annual report prep, things like that, going through the annual financial audit, those kind of things. So they could see them throughout the year. The other thing is to experience and have an opportunity to participate in a couple of meetings nationally, to be introduced, build some relationships, understand how those processes work. And then the last thing is, as we're doing activities, you know, there are tools, techniques that we use to experience those techniques and see what those tools are, although they've been documented fairly well. It's another thing to read them in the document, to see them. We pull them up on screen, they see where they are on the network and how we use them, go about the process. It'd be advantageous for someone to see the entire year. And I think it's very generous for the board to be willing to prepare two salaries for a year. It depends on the person, what they need. My intent was to expose someone to everything they need on relationships, activities, and the various tools before I leave 12/31. But I am still going to be available, just not immediately available. So that's a long-winded answer, James, that it, I guess it is, it depends. But I think someone's going to need more than 60 days and 90 days. It could take several months to see how things are done.
And James, from my perspective, the reason I included in my suggested edit was the preference being sooner rather than later in 2020, right, is for the reason that Bart just mentioned, that ideally, you know, many things that Bart undertakes and the association undertake happen once a year. So as much of an annual life cycle they might experience before taking the helm would be our preference.
Okay.
So with, and we'll talk about this in a minute when we get to the time frame, but we'll finish off the solicitation package. Are there any other comments? Then I hope everyone is comfortable. Dan will do his drafting and I'll give it a review. Then we'll send a revised draft of the solicitation package to the committee to make sure we captured these conversations quite appropriately. And that will not take long. And so if I can cover how we intend to distribute this.
Hey Bart, real quick, I yes. assume you're going to redline the revised draft that you send out kind of as a fatal flaw.
Yeah, I think what we should do is send it out as a black line and a clean version. So yep. You see, here are the changes and here's what the final version is going to look like.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Okay, now that we've gone through the solicitation package, as you recall, we did send the notice in the first distribution. We put that on the NOLGA wire. We put it on the Guaranty Association's website. Also had it added to the IAIR website. We made TDI aware of it, but I don't know there's anywhere for TDI to post it because it's not a TDI position. Sean, if there's any thought you have about, we'll make sure we send it to you. And if you want to share it with anyone, you should feel free.
Well, I was actually thinking about that, Bart. You know, you said you'd provide it to TDI and I wasn't sure what that meant, or, you know, there's nowhere for us to, we don't have a way to post it that I'm aware of.
I thought it would just share it within RLO. And if RLO knows of potentially interested parties, they could just share it.
That's fine. Why don't you give those kind of direction to me of how you might, in other words, you're not expecting us to post it on a website or anything.
Not at all. When we do that, Dan will send it to you and he'll make that clear.
It'll and then, because I was thinking about that, I was like, well, I know we didn't post it. Were they expecting us to? Because I don't really, you know, have anywhere to do that.
No, we wouldn't do that. And then I also posted it on my LinkedIn feed. LinkedIn does have, you know, a job posting area. I did not do that, but I was going to ask the committee, is that something you would like to explore? I thought by putting it on my LinkedIn feed, those that I know, a lot of people in my LinkedIn contacts are regulators that are in this, our receivership and insolvency community, it would get to people that would have a specific interest and have the necessary skill set.
Bart, can I share my 2 cents on this since I'm constantly trying to hire lawyers?
Please.
I use the State Bar, has a job posting that we pay money for. I've used Indeed, you know, pay money for, and then you've got LinkedIn, which does charge a fee. It's less than the other two. I get garbage from Indeed. I get zero from the State Bar, and I get the best, most qualified candidates from LinkedIn. And that's using the job posting, and it goes through the firm. the firm's page. I don't know, does the association have a page on LinkedIn?
No, it does not.
Okay. And I think one of the reasons it makes it available in that way is you can search for jobs on LinkedIn if you're looking for a job. So I don't know if that information helps you guys at all, but from a lawyer point of view, that's been our best resource has been on LinkedIn's job posting itself.
Dan, I'll corroborate that. Not all of my positions are lawyer positions, but some of them are, and I'm part of a law department. All of Corebridge job opportunities are posted on LinkedIn, and my experience is the same as yours, Dan. That's been our most valuable external tool, other than industry types of relationships. And maybe while I have the mic. Again, trying to second guess myself on this second solicitation. Here are some other possibilities, and you guys tell me if any of them resonate. So, as we're some sort of quasi-governmental entity, is there a job posting on the Texas Register or other state website? That's one. Number two, I understand and I know Jennifer at Talhi is involved in some sort of Texas association. So it's an association of association executive directors. And while that might not target insurance, it would target executive directors of associations in the state. So just another consideration. Last two are, we have the NEIC and IR here. It's not as big a deal in Texas as it might be in other states that have term limits, but frequently you find legislators that govern a particular space then landing in a similar role. So is NCOIL a possibility to advertise this? It's the legislator version of the NEIC. And then finally, in industry trades like ACLI or IRI, do any of those resonate with the group, or would we want to explore those possibilities?
Well, I'll mention the ACLI. I did send the posting to Wayne Melman at the ACLI, and Ted, you know Wayne. He really is the insolvency and receivership person at the ACLI. And I don't know if he distributed and what their mechanism might be to distribute. I don't believe it was distributed by the ACLI in any way.
Yeah, I'm on his receivership committee, and we even had a meeting here last week at the NEIC. It was not distributed, or at least I didn't receive it, and there may not be a means to do so. I'm just trying to think outside the box for any ideas.
In terms of the Texas Register, I just did a quick Google search. TDI posts its job opportunities on the TDI website. We don't post anything on the Texas Register, and I can only begin to describe how difficult it is to get anything posted on the Texas Register. In terms of their posting requirements, but what Google led me to was working, Texas Workforce Commission work in Texas. Where a lot of state jobs end up there and on the state websites, and they're directed to work in Texas. That I think picks up a lot of links, not just to work in Texas, but then gets linked to other. So y'all might want to think about that, if that would be something that might expand the audience some.
I don't know, Bart. The more I think about it, some of these may either not work for us or be too expansive in their scope, but I thought I'd throw them out there.
I just know when in the past, when I've been trying to hire people, when I went to some publications that are very broad to the entire world, I'd only left them up a few hours and had to shut them down because I was being bombarded with 300 and 400 applicants that have no experience whatsoever, just people looking for a job. They just hit every site. And
Well, then
that's
maybe
counterproductive.
so the LinkedIn I do think is helpful.
Yep.
Yeah, and in work in Texas, you're going to get people applying so they can keep their unemployment benefits. So, you just, I agree. I don't know. I don't think that would be necessarily beneficial, but that may be the closest. So,
But I think if we expand to use the posting site on LinkedIn, it's going to cover a lot more. I still think that initially we did get a good distribution. I received a lot of feedback from people, just questions. Just on my LinkedIn feed, there were over 2,000 what they call impressions and something over almost 500 follow-ups. It just didn't lead to a number of submissions. So I think we got the exposure, and with the changes to the solicitation package, I'm very hopeful that the bank of candidates will be expanded.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'm good with that.
Okay. Any on the timing, let me mention, I did reach out to Sean McKenna, the communications director at NOLGA. He's very willing to post our expanded search notice. And we'll talk about that notice in just a second. It's on the page here. The next NOLGA wire will go out on August 29th. So that time works pretty well for us. We were talking about offering this from September 1st with applicant submissions due on or before October 15th. So I think that would work really well. On screen, you will see is a draft notice. It's a revised notice, very similar to what we had before, but I made a point to use expanding in here. And I did put in employee position or as an independent contractor. But if there's anything else you would like to insert, please feel free to mention it.
No. I like this wording, and it highlights what we said earlier in the cover letter by saying that we'll be selected and the start date will be, should we adjust that, intended or preferred? Here we say it's anticipated a candidate will be selected and the start date will be first quarter of 2026.
If you like to use the word preferred in there, the preferred start date will be in the first quarter of 2026.
I think that gives us a little more breathing room there. Sure.
You have that, Dan?
I do.
But I think I can send you this notice. I think I have this in Word format.
Yeah, I don't have the notice in Word. Thank you.
I'll get it to you. I have that. Any other suggestions? With that, we've reviewed the package. So that's really everything for this section. The key was to get your thoughts on the solicitation package, how we notice it, and where we notice it. And I think we've gotten good feedback on all that. Dan, did you have any questions that we need to clarify with the committee?
I did not. No. Thank you.
Chair Huckabee, you ready to move on to the other items?
Chair Kennedy will.
Oh, we had too many chairs in this room. I had two different files here. I have to shift real quick. Give me just a second. Here we go.
All right. So, topping, are we ready?
Actually, this is going to be Jarrett's doing this today.
Oh, Jarrett. Okay. So, the time is 9:35 a.m. on August 20th, 2025, and I am convening. Wait, I need to adjourn first, right?
You did, yeah. Recess.
All right. The time is 9:35 a.m. on August 20th, 2025, and I'm recessing the regular session of the Executive Director Search Committee meeting of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act.
How long are you going to be, Bart?
So who's pausing the open meetings?
I'm doing that right now.
Okay.
Already been paused. Sean, I believe this is going to be about a half an hour.
Topping, or are you going to be around to send me an email or something?
No, she will not be. Jarrett, could you send Sean a quick email?
Yes.
And I'm going to be working on something else. So I'll be watching my email. So you don't need to text me. Just email me and I'll jump promptly back on. Okay.
Okay, Sean, I'm going to place you in the waiting room.
You may place me in the waiting room. Thank you.
Boom. He's there.
All right. Are we ready for executive session?
Ready.
You are now recording an executive session.
The time is 9:36 a.m. on August 20th, 2025, and I am convening the Executive Director's Search Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. In executive session, we have two action items or two line items, review of any confidential revised solicitation package details, and advice from counsel. So I'll turn it over to you, Dan and Bart.
Dan, before we get into that, I wanted to prepare the committee for some financial aspects of this. Since I'm going to disclose some compensation details, I think it's probably best if I quickly put Jarrett and Topping into a waiting room and I can bring them back. Do you agree, Dan?
Bart, I can't because I'm recording off of my laptop, so I'll have to step out of my office.
Okay, if you want to do that.
Can you, Bart, I'm sorry if I'm wrong here, but could you confirm that you've paused the open meeting part of the meeting? Because it still says recording on my screen.
Oh, I'm sorry. The screen sharing is paused. I'm sorry.
Right.
You're right.
Pause the recording. Just pause. Don't stop.
I have to
and then you can put me in a waiting
room. Give me just a moment.
Okay.
The time is 9:58 a.m. on August 20th, 2025. The executive session of the Executive Director Search Committee of the meeting has concluded, and I am reconvening the regular session of the Executive Director Search Committee meeting pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. With that, I think we're on to item 4 in the agenda, consideration and possible action regarding items discussed in executive session. Bart, I don't know that we have any action items, Dan.
No,
executive session. It was quite helpful, however. So we can move on to item 5, consideration and possible action on remaining steps and timeline in the selection process. So we've already identified, oh, thank you, Bart. This is great. So we have the solicitation timeline as previously identified, ending October 15th. Our next meeting, October 27th, board the 28th. Interviews anticipated through the month of November. Any committee reaction to any of these dates, concerns? Give me one second, Bart. I'm going to check my calendar.
Yep.
Yeah. Just looking at the last two, November, December, for interviews, I'll be out of the country. I think any of the others you've already got in coil contemplated there. So
yeah, there are some dates in there, and within there, there's a NEIC meeting in Hollywood, Florida. So I've kind of bracketed weeks, but there may be days within those weeks that are not available. So assuming we get to, or when we get to the October 27th meeting, I will bring a more detailed calendar,
okay,
and we'll pick additional meeting dates.
So, Bart, just two things from my end. I don't know that this is a problem, but I will be in meetings with my staff and a larger. We're having a law department meeting the 27th and 28th of October in Houston. I can excuse myself from those meetings and attend these meetings. So if everyone else can make these meetings, I'm fine with that. Otherwise, I guess the board meeting is set. We're not going to change that.
The board meeting is set.
Yeah.
The committee meeting can shift. It's not been noticed or anything. It's just a target.
No, I'm fine with changing it. So that's, I'll be here in Austin for those meetings. I just won't go to Houston for those meetings. And the only other thought was, how long does the NOLGA meeting go just the week prior to that? Does it run through the 25th?
Yeah. NOLGA meeting is the 22nd, 23rd,
24th.
Sure. but
Okay.
there's an IR meeting that I'm involved with, actually.
It shows 22 to 24 on the NOLGA calendar, Ted. I was looking this morning.
Okay, so we'll have the 25th and 26th for everyone to get home. We're not, and I perhaps since it's in San Antonio, some people may want to stay over and just come to Austin for the 27th and 28th. So I think that works, Bart. I'm good.
Okay. And on 5-2, you'll just see there, assuming you have a qualified bank of candidates, we go through the during the month of December, of November, we do interviews, and then you feel comfortable making a recommendation to the board of directors in January. Then what we show is February and March, the work to finalize the terms of an engagement, whatever that might be. April 21st would be the final sign off by the board of directors. So right after that, the engagement would begin. So we're talking about first quarter in the solicitation package. We're looking at this timeline. It really doesn't begin until May 1.
May 1st, yes.
So we can make that change in the solicitation package because this timeline, we just can't get it done first quarter.
Agreed. I like changing it to May 1, 2026 then.
Okay.
Preferred start date.
Dan, can you capture that?
But it's a preferred, not a hard hit. So we have flexibility.
Right. The way we have it leave. Right now, it just says anticipated in 2026 sometime.
We could leave it even if it says first quarter, because this February to March time frame that's on screen, it may go quicker than that. And April 21st is just the scheduled board meeting. The board can convene a meeting at any time to finalize.
Yeah. I'd leave it flexible. Like I know the initial paragraph was sooner rather than later, or however that'll end up, but I wouldn't hardwire anything specific in.
Okay. Then that's
my
what
opinion.
We'll do.
Yeah, I agree. I think the time is going to be the interview process from my view. And once we have a candidate, the acceptance by the board and the finalization of terms will go rather quickly, I think.
Yes.
Okay. And your next meeting date?
Sounds good.
Scheduled for the 27th. A time on that? Is there a preference?
I do not have a preference. Any members, committee?
Yeah, I don't know that I do either. Depending on the timing, Bart, I might fly in Sunday night or Monday morning. So
we can easily do a 2 p.m.
Thank you, Mark. I was actually going to hope 2 p.m. would be great because I'll be driving in Monday morning.
Okay. No, and I should have no trouble getting to Austin by 2. So,
yeah, I think that works well. So, folks coming in for the board meeting can travel Monday.
Yep.
So, after this meeting, I'll go ahead and send out an invitation so you'll have it on your calendar.
Good.
And Bart,
where are you driving from that you optimistically think you can get to Austin by 2 o'clock from anywhere? So that's.
I can get there in about 3.5 hours to four, 3.5 to 4 hours.
Oh, okay. Good enough.
North of Fort Worth.
Yeah. Well, that's impressive.
So, Ted, you had another item or something?
Yeah, I was trying to determine how I was going to present this. It's a joke. So, with activities anticipated later in the week, should we notice the meeting as in attendance wearing Halloween costumes?
I won't. Topping will not. So.
If so, Bart, I was going to suggest that you come as eye candy.
No, I think when I leave, you're going to get that off my wall.
All right. Enough fun. Any other matters, any other things we should discuss before adjourning this meeting? Members, staff, council?
Nothing from the council.
No other concerns from me.
Ditto.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks for everyone's time. staff really appreciate Dan, Bart, your taking a second look at our package. I think we have both with the changes, delineation of compensation, and the opportunity to bid and the alternative for independent contractor. And also, Bart, as you said, I too heard some folks at the NAIC. So I'm fingers crossed, hopeful that we're going to see and receive a few more folks to put in the consideration pile. But with that, I'll adjourn the meeting. The time is 10:07 a.m. on August 20th, 2025, and this meeting of the Executive Director Search Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.